the Rove and Sam catch-up.
Rove, you know how much I relish my privacy.
I sure do. That's why I don't even know your last name.
If you want to make sure you have privacy at your home, I suggest you contact Winston with a Y.
Oh, yeah, of course. They're the family business with over 48 years' experience who can custom make blinds, shutters, awnings and crimp-safe products for your house.
And if you contact them now, you can have it all ready by Christmas.
Oh, that's great, because I'm sick of that guy who keeps breaking in over Christmas and eating all our biscuits.
Who does that?
Oh, I saw him once. He's some guy in a big red suit with a white beard.
That's Santa Champy.
Look, I don't care what his name is. I just want him away from my biscuits.
So for your custom-made blinds, shutters, awnings and crimp-safe products, go to winstonwithay.com.au.
That's Winston, spelled W-Y-N-S-T-A-N.
By the way, Rove, my last name's Frost.
Sam, be careful. Santa could be listening and he'll steal all your biscuits.
Hello, podcasters. Your favourite show's about to begin, but what if you could listen to it without having to worry about using data? Your exclusive podcast offer is here. Now that you've pressed play on us, head to ilovedata.com.au and get 50 gigs of data every month for $59.95. No contracts, no catches. ilovedata.com.au. Go on, open up your browser. And now, catch up with the guys.
Chitty, chitty, chat, 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 chat.
Hey, chitty chatters.
Now, I feel like there was a lot of stuff today that we were talking about, partly on air, and partly in between the songs that were like, oh, we've got to talk about that in the chitty chat. And
oh, now yeah, where should we start?
It's now 5 hours later and we're like, what were we going to do again?
No.
The only thing is with your...
Sam getting drunk and throwing up.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, there was that story.
I got drunk at my 21st and I threw up.
And Jamie's throwing up story. You got a good spew story. Let's tell spew stories. All right. I don't even tell my spew story.
Okay.
You go first.
Okay.
You go first.
Me?
Okay, I'll go first.
You go.
Okay, so my 21st, guys. Guys. I was so excited. I looked fantastic. I'm excited. I got heaps of mates there. Filled up the whole place. Brilliant. How good's this? Playing In Excess, my favourite music. I said no new music because I hate new music. And it was all...
Just hits and old...
Justin Bieber and Taylor Swift. Sorry, my microchip. But, yeah, it was all old school music. Loved it. Cold Chisel. Great. Anyway.
In Excess, your favourite.
Seriously, my favourite. I went on a documentary binge last night.
Oh.
Because I love Michael Hutchins.
Sure.
And just watched a whole bunch of stuff. I spent like 4 hours watching.
How many documentaries are there on Michael Hutchins?
Oh, it wasn't so much documentaries, but it was like lots of little clips, his interviews. I just... filled up a whole playlist.
More like a YouTube rabbit hole?
Yeah, and it just went going
so
and going
so not so
and
much
going.
A Netflixy one?
Yeah.
Okay, gotcha.
But anyway, and then it was probably about 10, and my party finished at like 12, 30 or 1, and I had hit my head somehow, I don't know, doing the worm or something, and I started throwing up everywhere.
Oh.
My brother, big shout out to my big bro Jeff, he was so sweet. He was like nursing me like a baby and I was literally had a napkin throwing up all over him.
How gross is that?
Well, yeah, we've got photos, so it's pretty hilarious.
Hey, have you thrown up in front of Sasha yet?
Yes, I have.
Oh, yeah.
You don't want to know a really fun story.
I do.
This is just for the chitty chatters, lean in, guys.
Okay.
So when Sasha and I, it hadn't aired yet that we were together, we caught up at one of our mates' house.
Right.
Definitely a big no-no, could have sued for a lot of money, but I didn't. So we went over to his...
Oh, so this isn't a sanctioned visit.
No.
Gotcha.
This is us just texting each other going, oh, let's go over. We went to Dave the plumber's house.
Skating on thin ice.
So much fun. I was Hammer Smash Face, pretty blind. And
I love this new character, Hammer Smash Face, that you've come up with.
Hammer Smash Face is a legend. But, you know, guys, drink responsibly. And anyway, and then
I take that back. On a chitty chat, I refuse to say that.
Yeah, okay, fair enough.
Get Hammer Smash Face, guys.
Take shots.
It's
throw
fun.
Them up on the bar floor.
Fun.
Who cares? Anyway, so I ended up being like, Anyway, bolted to Dave's bathroom, vomited everywhere, on the toilet, on the floor, on the ceiling.
On the ceiling?
On my legs, like everywhere.
This is one of those, I didn't get there in time.
Yeah.
So it's not like
you... But it was just like projectile, like, or like it was like spraying like a whippersnapper.
Oh, my God.
Like a whippersnapper? Like a sprinkler, sorry.
Like a sprinkler, right.
Sash came in, and I was really embarrassed. This is very new. Very, very
new. And look,
new.
To be honest, it hasn't gone to air, so it's not like he's 100% officially committed.
Mate,
to
he can do a Blake Garvey and get out of it. It's happened before. But then he was cleaning it all up, wiped my legs and washed and put me to bed, cleaned it all up. The next morning he said, "Do you know the moment when I realized how much I love you is when I was cleaning up and you were so vulnerable?" And he's like, "I want to look after you for the rest of my life."
Cute. Well, mine said, was I threw I up on my pants and it looked like I'd shit vomit everywhere. Aww. That's my beautiful spew story. Actually, mine's a bit of a sweet one too. So Tasma and I, newly dating, we've gone on our very first trip together. And of course, we've decided to, we've gone off the grid. So we couldn't be found. And I'm pretty sure I've told this story before. But anyway, we were perfectly fine. We went trekking through the jungles of Cambodia looking for elephants. And when I say trekking, I mean like we camped out in the forest overnight. We've got like four guides with us. They were using machetes to cut their way through the forest. Like, we're literally trying to find elephants by looking for their footprints. And like it's hardcore. It's not a jungle safari in the back of an open-top Jeep or something. It's on foot. Pretty hardcore. And they're hacking away at vines and stuff. And then they go, "Here's some dung." And then they flip it over with their machete gun. Look, you can see this is maybe a day old. And then we found a bit where the elephants had slept the night before. All the grass is compressed. Fun. Pretty cool. Yeah. And then we slept in tents, went tracking the next day, still couldn't find them. And we're sort of getting closer, but not quite. And then they go to cook dinner for us. And they're just cooking up stuff and they're preparing it with the machetes that they've been using all day to chop through the jungle and dig holes and flip over poo.
Uh-oh.
And we're like, "Oh, this is not a good idea." But, you know, it would be rude not to. And then we had, it was just boiled rice. And then if you could imagine fairy floss that tastes like pork, like it's dried pork, but it comes out as like a fairy flossing. And they just sprinkle that on top to give it some sense of flavor. And that was breakfast, lunch and dinner for like the 3 days, 2 nights that we were out there. And we were fine, not a problem. Then on the way back, we thought we will treat ourselves to just 2 days at a very nice hotel.
Brilliant.
Got into civilization, went to the local Westerners cafe. It's like the International Press Club. And we had dessert and there was something wrong with the cream and it hit us way bad.
Uh-oh.
It was pretty full on. Wake up in the middle of the night. Taz is running across the room. We've just made it to the hotel that day, so we don't know where anything is. She's thrown up in the sink.
Oh.
We are, I think, like months into the relationship. It's our first time. Realize, oh, this is the first time we've spent any, like longer than maybe a weekend together. And here we are in the most extreme of circumstances. She's thrown up in the sink and then just came back to bed. And I said, "What are you doing?" She goes, "I'm trying to clean it up." I said, "You go back to bed. I'll do it. I'll do it." And so I've washed, and it's a new modern day plug, one of those ones that pops up. It's not a hole, it pops up.
And it stays in there.
And so nothing of any, like if it's thick, it can't find its way in. So then I had to scoop it all out by hand and put it, wrap it up in toilet paper and then flush it down the toilet. So then it hits both of us. Like I got up the next morning, I went for a trek. I went climbing through the Angkor Wat temple. It was the only thing she'd ever wanted to do in her entire life and she missed it because she was sick in bed. I said, "I'll do it." She said, "Just take lots of photos for me."
Oh, Taz.
So I came back and then it's hit me. And by that stage, she is like the hotel room is a mess. Any shred of toilet paper is done. Oh, the cleaners are like,
smell.
"We need to come in." And we're saying, "This place is filthy. I am so sick." And yet it's like, "Oh, we got to get out. We need this place cleaned and we need everything freshened up. Towels are gone. Toilet paper's gone. Everything's gone." So I'm trying to lie by the pool with my sunglasses on pretending I'm sunbaking when all I can feel is something is about to come out of me and I'm not sure which end it's coming out of. And then I had to casually get up and go to the toilets that are in the restaurant at the hotel.
Oh, no, Rose.
I threw up so hard it lifted me off my feet. Like, I heaved so hard, I went up onto my toes with where it came from, the base of the pit of my stomach. And in the meantime, Taz was off buying souvenirs, I think, or something like that.
Love it.
Love is cleaning your partner's spew.
Well, mine's not love. Mine's just being drunk at a bar and going, oh, I'm not throwing up on my shoes. I'm just going to do it at the bar. So just throw up on the bar.
Oh, classy. Jamie, you're on your shoes. Oh, Jamie's shoes.
It's exactly the same.
That's my shoes, guys. I'm not throwing up on my shoes. Are you kidding me?
Oh, it's a fun show today. It's I can do the intro bit now, or do I have to do it earlier?
Sometimes we forget.
Hey,
I'll do it now.
Kim Cattrall's going to be on the show today from Sex and the City. I dare say you will hear the official spew stories that we have on air today. Plus, ghost stories, that's going to be in there. If it's on the national show, it'll be in this. And the results of Sam's baby experience. I'm looking at a gorgeous 3-year-old. Bridie, Sam's niece, yesterday, is that her birthday dress?
Yeah, it's her birthday dress.
What's she munching on in a bowl there?
Looks like dog food.
A little bit of party cake? Maybe a little bit of party cake?
No, it's almonds.
Almonds.
She's a healthy little one. Little chicken.
Little paleo.
Yeah, mate, she doesn't muck about.
Enjoy.
But I was going to say on all of that, here's a quick shout out to...
Part of the intro?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. The intro. You might as well.
I did. That was the intro. That's the official intro.
I thought we didn't finish. That's why I said enjoy.
But there's still one thing I need to do. I know that's the bit that says who's coming up. I don't like doing the official one, and we've had complaints. Jamie?
Complaints from our Chitty Chatters.
Yeah, you were like, oh, well, you cut out the rest of the show to put some lame introduction in that we don't need.
What do you mean? Exactly. What, that goes for like 10 seconds?
Oh, well. I think we might be talking about the one that I went on for ages. Jimmy the Snowman, thanks for the shout out yesterday. He said, I didn't need a prize anyway. The shout out was not disappointing at all.
Oh, thanks, Jimmy the Snowman.
And I'm pretty sure it was Harsa, our old mate Harsa, pointing out that it is across the board. You are right. It is not us. It is the network. Here we go. No, it was Lee.
Lee Howard.
Howard, yeah. Others have fallen victim to the hashtag catch up curse. Seems to be an SCA wide thing. Kat and Amos are also victims. Hashtag bring back the full podcast. And I had to name and shame. I said, yes, Lee, it's the boss's call.
Yep.
I will not wear this. I will not wear this.
Yep.
So anyway, just a little bit of shout outs to people. And remember, Sam, people can actually email us. We haven't done this for ages.
rovingaudience@sea.com.au.
Even just to say hi.
R-O-V-I-N-G audience.com@sea. Shit, just the first one.
Here's the significantly edited catch up. Roving Sam.
Thanks for catching up on your favourite show on this podcast. Now, if you're a tragic Twitterer, you upload on Instagram or you stream all your favourite songs, you're going to love this deal from Ovo Mobile. Switch to an Ovo data sim now and you'll score an unbelievable 50 gigs for $59.95 on 4G. No contracts, no catches, and no more texts telling you about the additional $10 for 1 gig added to your already expensive phone plans. Can I get an amen? And as if that isn't brilliant enough, Ovo is going to give you the first month half price. So let's break this down. One whole month to enjoy 50 gigs on 4G for just $59.95 and the first month half price. 50 gigs of YouTube, social media, FaceTime, Tinder, whatever you want on the World Wide Web for half the price I know I was paying before I made the switch. ilovedata.com.au. You can open up the website right now while we get back to your favourite show.
Sam. I was out Saturday night, Sam. Big shout out to everybody who came to the Taronga Zoo Centenary Parade at the Opera House.
I saw your pickies.
Beautiful night. And it wasn't that late when we finished. It was maybe 10 o'clock by the time I went to, I think we'll head home.
Sure.
Just walking across the forecourt there at the Opera House. And a guy has come up and I thought, okay, he's looking a bit wobbly. Oh. He looks like maybe he's had a bit too much already tonight. Yeah. And so we just sort of decided, I was with my mum and my sister, we thought we'll give him a bit of a wide berth. He's come past and then he's just stopped and just gone into perfect I'm about to throw up stance.
Oh, classic.
He is in a public space, but what else do you do but just stop, spread your legs, brace your knees, lean forward to give as much distance between what's about to come and when it hits the ground, it just not landing on you.
Mm.
And at that point, two police officers, it's like they've come from around the corner and they're walking straight towards him. I'm like, oh, my God, he is going to be arrested for public intoxication.
Sure.
Or I don't know, disturbing the peace. There's got to be some law. So I'm waiting for this guy to straighten up and try to look as sober as a judge. But no, instead he's just like, I cannot stop this happening.
And he just
throws up on the ground. It splatters everywhere.
Yuck.
He does a bit of a pit, one of those spits afterwards. I'm pretty sure I saw some of it come out of his nose.
Oh, yeah.
Silhouetted by the harbour bridge. It was
beautiful.
It suddenly made it a bit more classy.
Silver lining, guys.
Exactly right. So again, I'm like, well, now is that... Now he's not going to, he surely will get in trouble now. Even my mum said, is that not littering? Mm. Is that, you know, if he threw something on the ground, wouldn't he get in trouble?
So he'd get in trouble for everything these days.
It's like, how many boxes is he ticking?
Yeah.
The cop just walks up to him and says, I think it's time to go home, don't you? Oh, that's it.
Police officer,
that's
you
it.
Minx.
That's all she said. maybe just said, I was like, yep. Yep.
Yeah.
And then he's just staggered off towards the opera bar. I'm sure he's like, right, here we go, round five's about to happen.
What do they do? Do they clean it up? Do they hose it down? Or it do they just leave it there?
It just stayed there. I didn't anyone touch it. I don't know what the law is. I'm sure it's not a police person's job to clean up spew.
But don't they just, I don't know, call someone? I don't know.
Some poor cleaner who doesn't get paid enough would be responsible for that. I was once that cleaner. It was not a fun job. Tales from the Toilet, coming soon, my new memoir. So 13, 10, 60, I can see a couple of people already know where we're headed with this.
I got a classic story from my 21st. Should I save it?
No, hit me now.
All right, on my 21st, guys.
Oh, no, you know what? No, we've gone. I'm looking at the clock. This is one of those times I'll say, nah, you know what?
I'll save it.
Okay, let's do that.
To be continued.
13, 10, 60, though, if you've got a spew story, we'd love to hear it. Roden
Sam. Emma in Central Coast, what's your vom story?
Hey, guys, how are you?
Very good, Emma.
Well.
That's good. So, a fair while ago now, I finished uni exams and we all decided to have a few pre-drinks and go out to the city to celebrate. So me, I'd kind of had a little bit too much and we're waiting in the line. And I thought I was kind of okay. I get to the door and I've thrown up, but I've looked down, I've thrown up all over this guy's feet. And looked up, it's the security guard of the club.
Oops.
And I've gone, oh my gosh, he's going to throw me out. All my friends are going to have to come home. He's pretty much helped me up and just gone, are you okay? And I'm going, yeah, I'm fine. He's taken my money, let me in, had a great night. It was fantastic.
Oh.
Wow.
You're obviously a babe. That's why.
Much.
That's why.
I cracked the code.
And you've got a whole bunch of hot friends. That's all security guards think like.
Maybe he was treating...
Dust her off. She's fine.
He was treating your stomach contents like the rules of the club, one out, one in.
That's true.
Nice one, Emma.
Justin, good morning.
Hello, how are you?
Very well, thank you. When did you chunder everywhere?
I was about 12.
Oh, what happened?
I went to school and I had a stomach bug.
Uh-oh.
Oh.
I didn't want to tell the teacher.
Yep.
Like, I was scared to go to, just leave the classroom because I was real crook.
Yeah.
And I ended up just stewing in my worksheet book. Yeah.
Hang on, in your book?
Yeah, well, I didn't want anyone to know and I was trying to cover it up, but...
Now, yeah, I dare say the book can't hold the contents of your stomach, Justin.
No, that's right. Yeah, it went everywhere.
Oh,
so I got caught
no.
out. I got caught out.
Poor little Justin at school, Sam.
So cute. Are you on the work side at the moment, Justin?
Yeah, I am. Yeah, I'm just laying some bricks.
Yeah, I can hear the guys in the background, mate. Have a good day.
Yeah, good. Do you want my number as well, Sam, or not?
Hey! Mate.
We'll get him a breath mint first.
Having a good time this morning,
on
aren't we?
On the site. I'll tell you what, you don't need to be walking past to be wolf whistled, apparently.
I'm a little bit flustered. Joanne in Blacktown, good morning.
Good morning, guys. How are you going?
Very good.
Well. I mean, I'll give you my number if you want to. Is this what this is?
Why not? I'm always up for something like that.
Oh, thanks.
Joanne, what is happening
you know what?
Here?
I came in feeling like a 2 and now I'm feeling like a 9. Joanne, what's your bum story?
Awesome. I was out in the city and I was drinking, but it was in the middle of the day. And so we got back on the train in peak hour, people going home from work and stuff like that. All of a sudden, I felt like I need to spew.
Oh, no.
Those new trains, they don't have windows, they don't have anything. I'm literally packed in the train like a sardine.
Oh, no.
And I've pushed up against the door. You know how they've got those little cracks where the air comes through?
Oh, yeah. That's about all you got.
I've got my face up against that and I'm like trying to It went everywhere, but some of it went out through the door, but most of it went back on the floor. I was attempting to sneakily spew in a jam-packed bag.
Joanne, what is it about the human brain that makes you think, oh, no, this will work. This I can get away with this. It'll all just perfectly slide through the door. There will be no pressure. I can guide this. I have complete control over what's going to happen next. Madness.
If it wasn't for the little chunks, I probably would have been right.
Brilliant. Wrapping it up for us, Linda in Liverpool. Good morning.
Hi, Rob. Hi, Sam.
G'day, Linda.
Hey, what's your vom story?
Well, I have a little baby, my little daughter, and my sister's so excited because she's only 4 months, whatever. And we changed her, we fed her, and she's laying on the bed, and we changed her. And my sister's laying on her back with her arms held up, shaking the baby, or whatever. And I'm saying, you know, she's got reflux, don't you? Don't shake her too much and giggle, whatever. She's like, no, but she likes it. She likes it. And next minute, uh-oh, she directly spews all in her mouth. Formula spew. She just had to get up. She's like, dumped her on the bed and just ran to the dunny and just spewed everywhere.
Oh, she spewed in return.
She spewed directly in her mouth because like she's holding up and saying, hi, you know, giggling like directly in her mouth. We all just nearly, I said, I told you not to. We just couldn't believe it. Directly in my sister's mouth, formula spew. It's 23 years ago, but like, serious.
She can still taste the baby formula.
Rove and Sam.
Sam, we've been talking about this documentary that you made me aware of.
Yeah, Amanda Knox, the documentary. It's brilliant. It's on Netflix. If you love Making a Murderer or true crime like I do, you'll absolutely love this.
Yes, we've been talking about it for a little while and hopefully you have had the chance to see it because we're about to talk to the people behind it.
In November of 2007, Amanda Knox was living in Perugia, Italy, with her British roommate Meredith Kircher. After spending the night with her boyfriend, Amanda returned home to find a bloodbath.
Italians are calling this the trial of the decade.
We weren't best friends, but I was so shocked by what happened to her.
Meredith was dead and Amanda was the chief suspect. She was found guilty in her first court appearance and sentenced to 26 years in jail. A successful appeal had Amanda freed in 2011, but still the questions remained.
Either I'm a psychopath in sheep's clothing, or I am you.
We're now joined by the filmmakers of the Netflix documentary, Amanda Knox, Brian McGinn and Rob Blackhurst, to talk about this fascinating case.
Brian McGinn and Rod Blackhurst, thank you very much for joining us, gentlemen.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. Thanks for having us.
Now, I have to ask, first things first, how on earth did you convince Amanda to do this documentary?
Oh, well, I think the thing is that we didn't convince her, actually. We let her make the decision on her own. We approached Amanda in 2011 after she and Rafaela Telesico were first acquitted. We told her that we wanted to make a film about the people kind of living at the heart of the story and that we wanted to have both sides represented. And it took her 2 years to decide on her own accord that she was ready to talk to us. And so we did the first interview with Amanda in January of 2014, but it wasn't until 2015 that Giuliano Mannini, the Italian prosecutor, felt that it was time for him to talk as well. And it wasn't until that moment that we knew we would have a film, because it was always important for us to make sure that, you know, both sides were represented so that we could see both versions of their truth as it related to these events.
Now, this is the incredible part of this documentary. All the players in this story are there. Mm-hmm. It seems the only ones you didn't have access to are the family of Meredith, the victim. I'm guessing that's probably by choice from them. Rod, did you approach the family and in the meantime, have they actually seen the documentary at all? Have you heard what they think?
We did approach Meredith Kircher's family. We approached them twice directly and then once through their representation. We also sent the film to their representation before it was shown to anybody publicly. We have a lot of respect for them and what they've gone through. And we wanted to make sure that in the film, it was important for people to remember that this was a tragedy and that the story became about so much else that wasn't about that tragedy and wasn't about their daughter. And we felt it was important for people to remember that. We don't know if they've watched it or not, but we would also love to talk to them because they have an important story, and it would be important for us as filmmakers to understand their experience as well.
I think a huge part of it was how sensationalized it was in the media. I was cringing at everything that the journalist Nick Pisa had to say. Do you think that, you know, had the media not been so heavily involved, Amanda wouldn't have been convicted?
I don't know. I don't think that we really saw it as, you know, one component led to, you know, one outcome or another. I think that what you see with a story like this is that it is so complex. You know, really, what we saw was the media drove a lot of public opinion in the story. And, you know, as we see, even to this day, the world is still divided on kind of which side they stand. And I think, you know, a lot of the film has to do with kind of the power of narrative and how we come to believe the things that we do believe about stories like this. And so, you know, I think that was one of the things that was interesting for us to discover is just how we come to the conclusions that we come to in everyday life. That's something that's very normal now. We choose sides and everything. And, you know, that's kind of a cultural exploration that we're interested in the film.
Now, Rod, as a filmmaker, you have to be somewhat independent, I'm sure, when telling your story. But when you're talking to a Daily Mail journalist who says things like this...
Some of the information that came out was just crazy, really, and it's just completely made up. We are journalists and we are reporting what we are being told. It's not as if I can say, right, hold on a minute, and then I'll let my rival get in there first before me, and then, hey, I've lost a scoop.
How do you not just sit there and go, you're a dick?
Well, I think the thing that's important to remember is that Nick wasn't just writing for the Daily Mail. He was also a correspondent for Sky News in the UK, and he was a correspondent for NBC in the States. And Nick was one of the many journalists who covered the story. We wanted to speak to Nick because he was one of the first on the scene and because he spoke Italian and he tracked the story the whole way through. But as you can see in the film, you know, many different journalists at many different levels around the world, you know, became involved with the story, again, on emotional levels. And, you know, it turned into this Italian versus the United States thing that was constructed because it was a good story. So, you know, Nick was doing his job. Nick had to turn around stories because that was what his editor wanted. Because as Nick also says in the film, people wanted to get online every morning and find out the latest and the greatest. So because there was that demand, he had to do a job. And Nick did his job well. But there has been a shift in journalism towards this sort of like clickbait, sensationalized, emotional, you know, storytelling.
What I think Sam and I connected with the most is this film reminds us a lot of the series Making a Murderer and the Stephen Avery story. Do you guys feel this has a similar narrative of police needing to find a guilty party and therefore chase after maybe the wrong person?
I think the thing that really makes it different from Making a Murderer is that this story is so well known. You know, Making a Murderer, the Stephen Avery case, was relatively unknown worldwide when the series came out. And so that film and that series really became about guilt or innocence, and people wanted to look at it through that lens. And I think the burden that we felt had been lifted off of us in the Amanda Knox case is that, you know, with a final verdict already out there, it allowed us to dive past that.
You guys obviously spent a lot of time with Amanda. You know, I'm sure that there's hours of footage that we didn't get to see. But I'll start with you, Brian. Do you think that Amanda is innocent or guilty?
Well, I think that, you know, for us, the way that we built the film was from the final Italian Supreme Court verdict. So the Italian Supreme Court verdict in 2015 found Amanda and Raffaele innocent of the murder. And so for us, we wanted to respect the Italian court system and to, you know, really use those verdicts as a kind of a structural mechanism to build backwards and forwards from. Because we were really interested in going beyond the kind of question of a whodunit and trying to dive into kind of larger societal questions. Why are we so fascinated by true crime? You know, what makes a compelling narrative? So all of those things for us were super captivating.
Well, Rod, have you heard from Amanda post-documentary and what does she make of it? If she's seen it.
We showed the film actually to all of the participants before any members of the public saw the film. You know, that was actually one of the things that we told them we would do and earning their trust in them letting us tell their stories is we said, before this goes out into the world, you can see the portrait of yourself that exists in this film. They'd all felt that they'd been misrepresented or had these versions of themselves created in the headlines and in the media that weren't entirely representative of who they all felt they were as people. And so this was a chance for them to make sure that they could see, you know, this version that they had given us in these interviews before any members of the public would dissect them or try to, you know, unpack them. And they all responded well. They all saw the version of themselves in the film that they had presented to us.
Well, it is a gripping story, very well told. The Amanda Knox documentary, available to watch right now on Netflix. Its creators, Brian McGinn and Rod Blackhurst, thank you very much.
Thanks so much, guys.
Thanks for having us, guys.
Thank you.
Rosen Sam.
Yesterday, Sam, well, I made you step up and become a responsible adult.
Oh, you guys that work in this building, seriously, you stitched me up with a reality baby.
Absolutely. Well, you had a recent pregnancy scare. It's a natural thing that everybody goes through at some point in their life. But it made you reevaluate what would it be like as a parent. Could I handle it?
What is life, you know? But I...
So our first step was give you an egg.
I know, and I left the egg in the studio for the night because I thought, this is dumb and stupid. I'm going to play a stupid game, everyone.
Exactly. And you were like, it's an egg.
It's an egg. I eat eggs all the time. I'm about to order some eggs on toast because that's what you do with eggs.
So, to make sure you didn't eat your baby this time round, yesterday I presented you with a reality nanny baby.
Yes.
So these are like, they are as close to a real baby as possible. You even got to support their neck. They have a little computer chip inside them that lets people know whether you're taking care of them or not. They will cry if they're not fed or changed.
Yep.
So then what happened?
Well, we had the experts in from a reality nanny. They came in, they showed me how it works, and this is how it went down.
I've got the guys here from Reality Nanny. They're going to teach me a little thing or two about what to expect having a baby, and I'm going to have to look after a virtual baby. How old is this baby supposed to be?
Between birth and 3 months, and will require a lot of care.
Okay, how often does it cry? Can I just, like, keep it under the bed, hope for the best?
You could, but we would know.
Right. How often, on average, do I have to get up in the middle of the night? Because sleep's so important to me. I like to get a steady 12 hours, keep it consistent every night.
No.
I've played The Sims a few times, so you just have to feed it, change its nappy, throw it up in the air.
I wouldn't throw it.
No throwing.
No, no throwing. Can't
Sims,
throw
you've
it.
Lied to me. That's okay.
This baby has sensors in its neck, so it'll be able to tell us whether the head's fallen back or if you've actually shaken your baby.
Oh, I would never shake a baby.
Throwing it up will do that. So
copy that. How am I supposed to get attached to a baby that's ugly?
You will.
Do parents know that their child's ugly? No, you must see so many people that have ugly babies and you're like, they're not mentioning it. So ah!
Is that a good noise?
That's a good noise.
Oh, yay, sweet.
That's a happy sound. So if it's screaming, what do you do?
Rock it.
Good. If it wakes up and starts to griddle?
Feed it, possibly, or change its nappy.
Cool.
You know what, I should just do this so I can park closer at the shopping centres.
Absolutely. Just hold in the arm and pat its bottom.
Okay, cool. Okay. Hang on, what? I wasn't listening.
Yeah, sure. Oh, you're thinking about the advantages of parking at the shopping centre.
Yes! Mate, got this covered. You're joking.
Piece of piss.
Rosen Sam.
We took you through how it works, and then it was up to you to take that baby home overnight.
That's right, guys.
And see if both of you could survive.
Hey, baby. Hey.
Barbie, stop crying. Stop crying.
Shh. There we go. I just wanted a bottle. God, it'd take a while to drink this bottle. Drink, drink, drink.
Rocky, honey, come meet your baby sister.
Do you have to burp it, Rocky? Oh, this bottle goes for ages.
Story time, maybe that'll calm you down. We've got The Iceman, Confessions of a Mafia Contract Killer, Australia's Hardest Prison, Inside the Walls of Long Bay Jail. That's a goodie.
What did I do?
My personal fave, but you don't have to choose it just because I like it, Australia's Most Murderous Prison, Behind the Walls of Goulburn Jail. That's a goodie. Chapter 1. Slap went against Robert Hughes's face. blowing his cowardly eyes from the concrete into the crowd.
Okey-doke, I need to have a shower and fake tan.
I'll get Rocky to watch it.
Rocky, have you got it?
All right, let's go a little bit lighter. How to tell if your cat is a raging homosexual. When your cat is around other cats of the same gender, keep an eye out for excessive touching. Oh.
Shush. Oh, it's happy. Does that mean you're happy? That's a goodie.
That's a goodie, little baby.
I've got to finish tanning now.
And guys, good news, I'm tanned.
Rogan Sam. We're going to get the results as well back from Sam's baby once we get the chip back to the people at Reality Nanny. Thanks to them for lending us the baby. Details at virtualparenting.com.au if you want to put yourself through the same experience. Just a quick question. So the gay, I know you've got the all the crime books. I know that that's your library.
Yeah.
But the gay cats, is that a website you looked up?
No, guys. I have a book. It's called How to Tell If Your Cat's Plotting to Kill You. And there's a few chapters.
Why do you have that book?
Because it's hilarious. And I thought it's a great contribution to my library. And in there is the chapter of how to tell if your cat is a raging homosexual.
Okay, sure.
And, you know, some signs, like if you see mega gay rainbows in its eyes, guys.
Could just be a Snapchat filter. Let's change topic. This guy was voted out of last night's Australian Survivor. Oh, my God, he was hanging on, but just couldn't make it happen.
19th person voted out from Australian Survivor. Sixth member of our jury, Sam, that's enough. Need to bring me a torch.
He joins on the line now. Good morning, Sam.
Good morning, G'day. Sam.
Hello, guys. How are you this morning?
Very good, mate. How are you? I'm
better for hearing your voice.
Oh, good man. Now, does it still sting? I know a bit of time's gone by, but you watch it back. How tough was it towards the end there?
It was tough. I mean, being out there in a deserted island after that many days, game starts playing a little bit of tricks on your mind. And, you know, it's tough. I did my very best given the situation I was in and the information I knew at the time. And the game of Survivor is a funny one, that's for sure.
Now, of course, with the big Brooke blindside, you thought the powerful three women have gone, and then that's shifted it now over to Ellen Lee. You had some words to say during tribal council, and when he voted you out, here's what he said.
Unfortunately, it broke the alliance's trust, and there's consequences to that. So hopefully, have a beer when this game's over.
Have you had that beer since the game's over?
Mate, we have. We've had a couple of beers. Lee and I are on fine terms. I don't hold grudges, and neither does he. It was a game, and Brooke and I made that move because we were trying to get the fans what they wanted. It was getting a little bit boring there, and we're like, you know, taking risks. So it was either going to backfire or be a success. And
when you had your beer, was Elle there too? Because the two of them are obviously getting it on now.
Yeah, Elle was there, actually.
Oh, right. So when did you guys all first become aware that they, not just as an alliance on the island, but actually were getting it on as a couple?
Oh, I think it was probably, yeah, it was a tough one because you asked the question during it, but then I think it's more about when the game had finished, I think they'd kept in touch and whatever else. But I'll let Lee and Elle, I'm sure they'll explain their little journey together to you guys at some stage in time.
And Sam, our producer Cody, she said, yep. Can you find out if he's single? She's like, I live in Bondi, he lives in Bondi. So are you single, Sammy?
I am single, actually. I am.
You were about to say I'm always single? Cody, there you go. Get his number off there.
Now, you've got a charity that Chris Hemsworth wore one of your tops and they completely sold out. How did that come about? Do you know each other or was that just him being a good bloke?
Definitely him being a good bloke. I don't know Chris personally at this very minute of time. A good friend of mine works on the set for Thor. He does a lot of the big movies here on the Gold Coast and across Australia. And he wore some gear to work and Chris sort of got the conversation starting and asked what it was all about. And he said he'd love to support the charity and get on board, get him some gear. And next minute, it was in the media and it kicked up a storm in terms of how busy we got, that's for sure. But it was good.
Absolutely.
It was amazing.
Well, it's a fantastic charity. Livin', I'll just say that.
Well, look, congratulations, you. Man, you went down swinging, but you tried your best. Looking forward to seeing what happens when it all wraps up. That final tribal council is going to be a doozy. I mean, you can have a stab at who's going to be there at the end, but as to who everyone will want to give the money to, that's a completely different question. Sam, congratulations. All the best with whatever's next and staying single.
Thanks, mate. Thanks, guys. Have a good morning. Enjoy your day.
Will do. Sam, is there anything else you want to say other than living? Is that kind of it?
Just living.
Okay, good to know.
With no G. Rove and
Sam. We are looking for some ghost stories.
Oh, I love ghost stories. Kicking it off. Jennifer, good morning. What ghost story do you have for us?
Hello?
Yes, Jennifer.
Oh, hi. Sorry. Good morning, guys.
Good morning. What's
Sorry,
the story?
Jennifer, already on edge. Hit us.
Well, my mum still is a psychic, and she used to read from her house.
Love it.
And I think one of her clients left one behind because she's got one in her house now. And he makes his presence known.
What does he do?
Even to my little four-year-old nephew.
Yeah. What happens, Jen?
I don't know if it's a he or she, but they turn the lights on and off a lot.
Yeah.
Television gets turned on. We can hear footsteps from upstairs sometimes. And it leaves doors open on the cupboards as well sometimes.
Now, Jennifer, if your mum's a psychic, has she ever tried to communicate with this spirit?
Yeah, she has. She thinks it's a male energy, but she's not really bothered by it, so she just keeps going on a business, just lets him have his little fun.
You know what?
It probably is a guy because guys leave cupboards open. That's a very guy thing to do.
They don't really know how to shut things.
Even in the afterlife. Thank you very much, Jennifer.
Yeah, see, that's why I find it weird because that's why I don't want to go on a ghost tour because then they attach themselves to you.
No, but we should go on a ghost tour.
What if it attaches?
That's a very good idea. Natalie from Haverfield, good morning.
Hi, Rove. Hi, Sam.
Hey, Natalie.
What spook did you witness?
Well, I used to live in a unit on my own in my earlier 20s, and I used to have a spirit visit me at night, and when I was asleep in bed, she would stroke my hair, and I know, right, and breathe down the back of my neck, and I would feel her patting my back. And you know what, though? I know, but it wasn't scary. It was actually really comforting. It felt really nice.
Now, do you think, Natalie, that maybe it was like a maternal ghost? Like maybe, you know, she's lost a child and she's thinking that you're that child and she's sort of stroking you to sleep in a comforting way?
Well, I think she might have been trying to protect me because a friend came over who was into Reiki and spiritual stuff and I'd not told him. And he said to me, hey, Nat, you know, there's an old lady. She's popping her head out of your bedroom. And I can see her and her name is Betty. And I was like, what, you are kidding me?
Ben.
And then I asked around the neighbourhood and I said, oh, who used to live here? And they said an old lady, her name was Elizabeth, but everyone called her Betty.
Oh.
Like, what? No way. So
Natalie.
It was fun. Yeah. But anyway, she was lovely. I enjoyed
it. That's good.
Fun.
I like to
there
hear that.
There you go. I would be creeped out.
I'm
have the
chills.
EBGBs.
I'm getting chills. Getting chills.
Holly, good morning. Wrapping it up for us. What story do you have?
Oh, hi, guys. Yeah, I am... My last house my partner and I lived in was the number of the street was 113 and it was in Crow's Nest.
Okay.
And the first time that it happened, the radio turned on right to the song. You know the lyrics, I keep bleeding, I keep bleeding in love?
Yes.
And it was just randomly, like nothing. I hadn't turned on the radio. We barely turned on the radio. It turned on. And then I found out from the neighbour next door that the lady who lived in the house before us had an internal hemorrhage and bled to death. And then it happened again, and it was just both of my partner and I were in the house. We were totally freaked out because it just came on out of the blue early in the morning. I keep bleeding in love.
Oh.
And then we're like, okay, we're moving. And apparently the person before her also died of another, I don't know, I think a stroke or something. But when I heard that she died of an internal hemorrhage and was bleeding to death internally, I was like... Okay, we've got to move.
Absolutely.
Oh, Holly.
And
you
like,
know
did
what?
You like? Can you when you move to the new places? Does it take you a while to sort of get used to it after that?
Oh, I mean, no. You always think I'm an idiot. I'm sure it was just like a power line or something.
Real deal.
But
legit.
Two times with the exact same song.
Absolutely.
I never thought it was Belita. But after that, I was like, hey, look, I don't know if I believe in them, but I'm going to have a healthy respect for them and leave.
Good
response. For you. That's
Holly, glad you made it out.
I'm not buying
thank
that
you
house.
To everybody for rethinking some of her life choices. Rogue and
Sam. Guys, first up, let's open up my conspiracy corner, please.
The Illuminati, flat earthers, Donald Trump's blonde eyelashes, the Bachelorette's Georgia is really Richie. This is Sam's conspiracy corner.
Look, so many. Haven't we all thought about that?
I know, guys.
Georgia and Richie won for so many years.
I mean, it's been the talk of the town. But
have
guys,
you ever seen them in the same place at the same time?
You know what, Rafe? I haven't.
There you go. Anyway.
And their series are on different times.
It's a conspiracy for another time.
Sorry, guys, I got distracted. But, guys, you know I love myself some conspiracy theories.
You do.
And this one, I stumbled upon it last night. And, guys, it blew my mind. I texted to Rove, I texted to our producers, and I said, me, absolute scoozy. Guys, a British UFO expert,
yep.
He's been found dead. He's a conspiracy theorist, and he'd been doing some investigating, some deep, dark digging about UFOs, right. Government cover-ups, etc., etc. And guys, then he was found dead. But the kicker of this story,
look,
guys.
That's pretty intense anyway.
Holler back, Rove. Yes, it is intense.
As
but
all good
also,
conspiracy theorists would say.
But guys, he's a 39-year-old healthy guy, father of two. But wait, there's more.
So
I know.
But what's killed him, Sam?
He texted his mum a couple of days before he was found dead saying, "Mum, your boy's in trouble. If anything happens to me, investigate."
If anything happens to him?
Did you guys plan that?
No,
that
but that was
beautiful.
Jamie. Internet
mate.
High five.
Okay, mate. But guys.
Holy cow, Sam.
Seriously.
So so what do you think's happening?
This is
here?
What's happened,
here
guys.
We go. Here we go.
Everyone gather around. This guy, his name's Max, a very healthy 39-year-old.
Uh-huh.
He's digging in some places he doesn't. You know, people don't want him to expose the truth. His mum even said, "I think Max had been digging in some dark places, and I fear that somebody wanted him dead."
That would explain.
Do you want to play that sting again? Ding. Gee, whiz, you do it for Rove, not for me.
Whose corner is this?
This is my segment, Jamie. Gee whiz,
button
get your
pushing.
Priorities in order, matey. But anyway, guys.
So we don't know where he was digging, but he's obviously,
no.
Like you say, Sam, he's uncovered something.
He's got a shovel and he's digging pretty deep into some government cover-ups. And he was doing like seminars, like talking about all of his conspiracy theories,
wow.
UFOs and all the rest of it.
I think you need to do some follow-up investigating on
don't worry, guys, this is just surface stuff. And I know, you're like, mate, I could have looked it up on the news. But guys, I'm going to do some extra digging.
Uh-huh.
Don't kill me, anyone. I'm not going to dig too deep. Just surface deep. Just enough to, you know, get this segment across the line, okay?
Okay.
But don't kill me because I'm not going to expose you. It's fine. I am.
So what can you do to do some more research?
I'm going to get a UFO expert.
Oh.
Like, or someone who knows that sort of stuff. I don't exactly
find
know
out what's
just
going
yet.
On.
But this week, guys, we're going to find out some more.
Just scratch the surface.
Exactly. We're going to get deep and dark.
Watch
and
it.
Fantastic.
Sam's
and I love
phone
my
will
conspiracy
be
corner. Don't tap my phone.
She's got some selfies that you might not want to see.
I do. I like to sex to go, guys. I'm just kidding.
Kim Cattrall from Sex and the City is up next. Rove and Sam. Star of Sex and the City and acting superstar Kim Cattrall joins us on the show this morning to tell us about her new role with Specsavers. Just came back to Sex and the City. I loved that show, but I could never work out if I was a Samantha or a Carrie or even a Charlotte. I'll tell you this much. I definitely know I wasn't Mr. Big in any possible way. Sad face, Rove. Kim Cattrall, good morning.
Good morning, Rove. That's a very funny intro. Enjoy that.
Sad but true, I'm afraid. Now, you're in town for Specsavers. You're part of the Wearer of the Year competition. I have no idea what this is. How did you get on board?
Well, the way you can get on board, they approached me. I've been a Specsaver wearer for a number of years. I got my first glasses when I was about 10. And I love my glasses. I collect them. I wear them daily. And they asked me if I would be an ambassadress, which I said yes. And we're doing a competition. We're getting people like you, Rove, to go in there and get your eyes checked.
I probably should. I probably should.
Yes, you should. But the competition is take a picture of yourself, a lovely selfie, wearing your favorite glasses,
right,
looking unique and confident, and send it to loveglasses.specsavers.com.au, and we will judge you. And the winning ticket, you go to New York City, and you get a professional photo shoot and a makeover.
Oh, my
Samantha would be very pleased.
Yes, indeed. Now, we had an interesting bit of insight into your old Sex and the City characters from Sarah Jessica Parker, who was recently asked about your character, Samantha, and friends. And this is what she had to say about you guys.
I used to wonder if Samantha, Charlotte, and Miranda were real because they're such perfectly archetypal characters, the
sure,
other three. So you're writing a column about sexual politics, and I'm not entirely sure they're actually real.
Were you even aware that you were pretend?
Oh, this theory blew everyone's mind.
That's what I do for a living, is pretend. But that's a new one. Mm. You know, I know that Candace Bushnell, actually, all the characters in Sex and the City, she based them on quite a few of her friends. And then they were drawn in the characters of Carrie and Miranda and Samantha and Charlotte to clarify the characters in the show and the relationships between them. But that's a first for me hearing that. I had read something about it, but I think it's an interesting take. It really is. It felt like we were definitely there.
Sure, I'm sure.
Not just
for you.
In her imagination. Yeah. It would be funny, though, if she woke up like out of a dream. Did that really happen?
And you were there. That would be such a disappointing ending.
Exactly. It sounds very much Wizard of Oz, doesn't it?
Exactly.
Now, Kim, you have a Netflix show, Sensitive Skin, which you are the star in, and the show's all about aging in the public eye. Do you relate to the character? You know, it's so difficult to be a female in the media industry.
Yes. I relate very much to what the subject matter is, which is a woman of my age portraying her and the challenges that come with getting older, not just physically, but emotionally. You know, a lot of roles that we take on through most of our lives are starting to disappear. And so I wanted to really examine that change and use black humor, black comedy to do it. I really enjoy doing it. I executive produce the show as well, so it's very, very close to my heart. What's sadly missing, I think, in the entertainment industry is programming specifically for people my age. There seems to be programming for a lot of younger people, you know, wanting to change the world. But I want to examine the challenges of living within the world and society, for women especially.
Now, is it true that you've always been against the idea of cosmetic surgery, plastic surgery? Because that seems to be something that almost feels like it's a very bold statement to make.
Well, I find, interestingly enough, in North America anyway, it's become so commonplace. I think it's a very private decision. It's your body. You should be able to do what you want. Hopefully, you know, you'll take care of yourself so the surgery won't be as needed or as important in your vision of who you are, what stage of life you are, what age you are. But I'm not one to judge. I look at some of the plastic surgery that's been done and my heart bleeds, and I look at others and I think, wow, she looks fantastic, or he looks great. So, you know, I don't want to judge it. For me, you know, it's an ongoing question, I suppose. I would hate to look at myself in the mirror and not see myself staring back at me.
Mm. Amen to that. Well, look, aging gracefully, it's all part of it. And look, this is it. Specsavers, Spectacle Wearer of the Year competition. Don't let
come
the hip...
Come to New York!
Yeah, absolutely. You could stop by our Today FM Beach House Party in the Hamptons while you're there.
There you go.
Why not?
Right.
Competition is now open. Loveglasses.specsavers.com.au. Ambassadoress Kim Cattrall, thank you very much for joining
us. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Ru. Thank you, Sam. And Rove, get your eyes checked.
Okay, I will. Done.
Great catch up today, Rove.
I had a ball too. I think I'm feeling good because of all the rest I'm getting at home.
I'm guessing you've got your new blinds.
That sounds a little personal, but yes, you're right. Our friends at Winston with a Y came down and sorted us out, not only with new blinds, but also shutters, awnings and CrimSafe products.
That's the sort of service you receive when you're dealing with the family-owned business that has over 48 years' experience.
And, as I discovered, if you contact them now, you can have it all sorted by Christmas.
So go to winstonwithay.com.au.
That's Winston with a Y.
Why?
Well, because that's how they spell their name.
No, I know. I was just reminding people why.
Why is it spelled with a Y or just Y?
Why?
Why am I asking you about the why and why are you talking about the why?
You've really had too much sleep, haven't you?